Subnormal Magazine, back here with Bloody Mess. Wanted to just tell you, Bloody, you know, it's really just so refreshing, you know, in a way to talk with you. I mean, because there's not many people. I mean, a friend of mine sent me, for example, something, and someone mentioned like bands, including, you know, TSOL and, you know, the Germs and Circle Jerks and stuff. I'm like, that's cool. You know, not many people even know those bands. You know, there's just like few. But beyond that, like, there's not many people, Bloody, on the planet like you that's not just, you know, knows of the bands, but actually knows so many of them and is like partied with them or played with them and got this history like you do. So it's really an honor to talk with you, man.
Thank you. That means a lot, bro. It really does. And I want to say quickly, I'm currently managing and one of my best friends on the planet. His name is Pat McGlynn. He's formerly known as one of the Bay City Rollers, but he had a double platinum solo career in Japan. That's a very big career, actually, outside of the States, unfortunately. But I'm currently working with him musically as well, and I'm heading to Scotland in September because Pat and I are recording and meeting with the promoter about doing a tour of Japan.
That's so cool. You know, when you told me that, the name didn't ring a bell, but then, of course, the Bay City Rollers, I mean, I've known for years, obviously, and totally legendary, great, great band. So, yeah, and he's just incredible. So that's super cool. Congrats on that, man.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned before that, you know, you kind of change, you know, you're not the same person. And you mentioned, if you don't mind me going into, about your Reverend title. Tell us, if you want, a little bit about that and what happened.
Well, it's kind of a two-way story. It's kind of a twisty, funny thing. I was in radio starting in 1999.
Okay.
And eventually I was landed an offer in Bloomington Normal, Illinois, a station called WIHN, or I-97.
Heard of them.
They called me and said, we want you to not work at Rock 106 in Peoria. We want to, like, put you on salary and make you like, they're like, we want a real rock and roll DJ. We don't want like a guy that reads about it in a book or that looks like Elvis Costello. We want like, a real rocker.
Cool.
To be like our night guy from 6 to midnight on the air to get good ratings somehow. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm your man. They hired me, and they let me keep my Church of Rock title, which is a show I was doing on Sundays in addition to my other radio work.
Okay.
And it's a two-hour specialty program called the Church of Rock, and we play everything from the Bay City Rollers to Christian Death to Frank Zappa and the Beatles. Whatever.
Nice.
Anything.
I'll have to put a link to that.
We're in a doo-wop, surf, you know, you name it. But
yeah.
So, back on track. What was the question again?
Like about the Reverend title, like what happened there and how have you changed?
Sorry about that.
Not at all.
Momentary lapse of crazy of memory.
Not at all. It's a convoluted question.
A lady named Patty Donsbach, a really awesome person who is our general manager of IWIHN, came in the station. And by the way, I did achieve great ratings, very good Arbitron ratings, to the point of when I quit there, they actually came to me and offered me like a bunch of cash to like not quit. That's
nice.
Another story. But Patty Donsbach, God bless her, came to me one day and said, you know, you're so irreverent and you're so witty. And like she says, you're very impulsive and funny. She goes, why don't you become like get ordained and like add Reverend to Derek Moody and be like a minister. And I had been using Reverend Moody for a little bit, like on and off as a joke, but she's like, why don't you go with that whole thing and just do it? So I totally did. And I was like, it's Reverend Derek Moody. I got ordained through the Universal Life Church, like many others have. And I've done, gosh, probably 3 or 4 dozen weddings now across Oregon and Illinois where I'm legal to do it. And my first wedding was at a bowling alley, and it was a mass wedding, which was televised on every possible TV network, and including Fox, and also on the radio. And we had 13 couples, and we had each couple on a different bowling lane. We called it Lover's Lane, and it was with Reverend Moody. So I did this mass wedding as my first wedding.
That's great.
And
That's cool.
I decided to run with it, and then ever since then it just stuck, and I've always been called Reverend. But I was, believe it or not, I was an atheist all my life until about the year 2012. I mean, a big time atheist. Like any concept of God at all, I would have laughed at you. Any kind of concept.
Yeah.
And finally, I found a book one day called Hinduism for Dummies, and I laughed. And I was in Barnes & Noble, the dollar section, and something told me to grab that book. I don't know why, but I bought it for a dollar, read it, and I couldn't believe it. It said, if this resonates with you, you must read a book called the Bhagavad Gita. It's the oldest scripture known to man. It's like 5,000 to 10,000 years old.
Oh, yeah. I've got a big library of I love to read, and I've got like about 1,000 or more books on my bookshelf. It's on my bookshelf.
Oh, my gosh. Well, my respect for you just went up a million notches. But just real quickly, I was in an airport going to Mexico. A gentleman came up to me with like a dot on his forehead, and I didn't know what was going on. Tried to sell me this book. I had no interest. I knew it was about something about, you know, religion maybe, and I didn't want it, so I gave him $2 to leave, and he gave me this beautiful book, which was easily worth like 10-20 bucks.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure out why he would do that. What would possess him to take the money? And he looked defeated, but he took the money and he gave me the book. I looked at it, tried to read it over and over on the airplane. Nope, made no sense. Pictures were really pretty and they were neat, but that was it.
Yeah.
Well, flash forward from like 2007 to 2012, I'm reading, all of a sudden I start ripping through every book I own, because like you, I'm a voracious bookworm.
Cool.
And I'm going through like all of my bookshelves, and the very last one I find, there's a brand spanking copy of the Bhagavad Gita.
Wow.
And so I read the entire book, and I went to a teacher who said, do not read it like a novel, to read it contemplatively, unlike a novel.
Hmm.
So I did. I took a year, and I read it, and I contemplated it, and I was able to comprehend it, maybe 85%.
Wow.
And it opened my entire heart to a complete different way of thinking. It changed my entire belief system overnight, and it just blew my mind and my heart wide open, and it influenced not only my life, but my entire family in time. It opened all of our hearts and let us sit down so many paths that transcended rock and roll by a million years. And I knew there was a reason I was coming out to Oregon besides music, and that music was just a catalyst. I knew that, you know. And
then yeah.
I was able to get up to the spiritual place that was completely overwhelming, to where I realized that, like, Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, whatever you want to call it, as long as love is behind it, it's all the same. It doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah,
and
wow.
That's where I stand, you know?
Well, that's really cool. So would you, I mean, I'm personally, and you're probably maybe the same, but I've never liked labels in many regards because they're so stereotyping or, you know, carry negative connotations in some regards, maybe. But would you consider yourself as Buddhist now or what?
No, I wouldn't. I would not. If I were to identify with anything, it would be Hinduism. It would be Hinduism more than Buddhism.
Yeah.
The thing is with me is I would never put a label on myself, because I believe that we are really, one of our reasons of being in the body temporarily is to awaken from the illusion of separateness. So if I put a label and say, hi, I'm a Hindu, I'm immediately separating myself from everyone else, you know, around me that's not a Hindu then.
Exactly, yeah.
So I think anything that ends with an ist or an ism, like Jello Biafra once said, again, another early hero of mine.
Yeah, likewise.
Somebody with a great mind that, you know, used his head at least, you know.
Yeah.
When I might not have been doing so in some parts of my career, because I was using alcohol and drugs like an idiot, but, you know,
many
you
did.
Live and learn, man. That's what you do. And I'm
exactly.
happy to report that I'm sober today, except for cannabis. Woohoo.
Congratulations on that. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, and just surviving. I mean, I could say the same myself.
If I identify with the spiritual path, it would be just, I'm a nature person, and my religion is love, and I just believe that it doesn't matter if you have any belief systems that believe in any kind of God. It doesn't matter if you have any, like, you know, things you do, like rituals, a dogma. Really, is if you're just kind to other people and yourself, that's that. Good enough. That's it. That's a great way to live. If you want to add all the other stuff in, great. You identify as a Buddhist, awesome. You're a Christian, great. I love Jesus. Seriously. But I'm just saying,
yeah.
I'm into all of the saints, you know, and so I study them all, and I believe a lot of them were real, and that, you know, Ramakrishna and Buddha and Jesus, they're just such beautiful people and characters and souls, you know.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I maybe caught a glimpse of that from some of your, you know, checking you out a little more, you know, but I didn't really know for sure. So, but I mean, that's really, really amazing and cool to hear, you know, your kind of transformation.
You know, it's weird, though, bro. A lot of people think that with that kind of sort of awakening of the heart and mind sort of thing that is automatically, oh, if you act a certain way or if you do this or that, you're a hypocrite or this or that. Truth is, all people that are on the path of like waking up into the truth-seeking souls, most of them come from a path of either trauma, drugs, other paths that didn't work, and they finally turn to a spiritual path because that's what this is all they have left. And for me, that's exactly what it was. You know, even all of the highest rock gods that people look up to, like Hendrix, Jim Morrison, all of them were on the same thing, trying to find the truth, and they turned to drugs and alcohol as the wrong path. And it just is, you know.
I totally agree. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm thinking back on myself, then I used to say repeatedly, I didn't realize it at the time, but I was trying to unconsciously, you know, slowly kill myself with drugs and alcohol, you know, but it's thankfully we both survived.
Amen, brother.
Right on. Well, bloody, I could talk with you, you know, for, you know, hours and hours and infinitely on end, but I know you've got things to do. What kind of do you, and I'd love to follow up, by the way, if you ever want to come back, talk on another time here. But before we leave and I let you go, what, if anything, do you want to kind of tell your listeners, your fans, your new fans, and the people out there, anything you want to convey?
Yeah, I'm not really doing music full-time anymore. Like, I don't have, like, a regular band and all that anymore, but I'm definitely going to always be involved with music. I do have a great band right now I'm working with. We're opening up for the great Richie Ramone of the Ramones coming up here in Southern Oregon on September 3rd.
So awesome.
We're doing one gig this year, and it's my first one since March of 2020. Yeah, my first gig since March of 2020.
Cool.
And my only one. But also, you can check me out on the radio on the Church of Rock. You can find us on Facebook or whatever. And we're also online, live streaming, and on FM radio in California and Oregon. Also, Fanatic Records is my record label I run. If you want to check out all the new stuff I'm releasing, I have a new album coming out on June 1st. It's called Bloody Mess Meets the Press. Huh. It's a two CD set that's different interviews from the 80s and 90s, and it contains all the TV shows I've been on, with, you know, edited, of course, with my parts, tons of interviews with, you know, radio stations and all that. So Fanatic Records, Church of Rock, and then I'm heading to hang out with Pat McGlynn because I just put out the Skies Are Blue album, which is a tribute to Pat McGlynn, and we're still have a few of those around for the hardcore fans that want to get those.
So nice.
I appreciate you reaching out. I don't get a lot of people reaching out for interviews these days, but I really, it was nice to hear from you, and I remember the original interview from Subnormal, so it's quite the honor, man.
Very cool, Bloody. Well, likewise. Hold the line, please, before we hang up here. And folks, Subnormal Magazine, Bloody Mess, The Legend, Bunk Rock from Icon from way, way back, and not that far back, you know, but Bloody, it's been so cool to meet you and over the years and just know you and finally get back in touch again. So thanks for speaking.